This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast for today. We're talking about probiotics with Marty Whittakin, who is a board-certified clinical nutritionist. She's a best-selling author, and she is the host of her own nationally syndicated talk radio show, Healthy by Nature. She has all kinds of credentials. She's an author. She's frequently appears in media. She's about to release a book on probiotics to be entitled, let's see, what's it going to be called, Marty?
The Probiotic Cure.
The Probiotic Cure. Okay, and that book will be available, so stay tuned. So, and by the way, your radio program, let's talk about that, Healthy by Nature. How is that accessed?
Well, folks can go to my website and they can listen to, they can sign up for podcasts, they can listen to the archives, they can find out where you can live stream. I'm broadcast in a number of markets. New York isn't one of them, but there are lots of ways to access the show. I've probably got 12, 13 years worth of past shows on there. It's kind of crazy. And the website is healthybynatureshow.com or the shorter hbnshow.com.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're talking in part one about all the different benefits of the probiotics, the microbiome that inhabits our intestinal tract, and some of the ways that we screw up our microbiome. Let's talk constructively in part two about how to reconstitute our microbiome. And let's start with the subject of probiotics. You know, probiotics, there is now such a profusion of products on the market. And there are all kinds of conflicting claims. There's controversies. You know, there are products that are milk-based. And then there's some people say, well, no, I don't want milk-based because I'm sensitive to dairy. And then there are, you know, opportunities to get, you know, rice-based products. And there are products that are encapsulated. There are products that are in time-release capsules that open deeper down in the intestinal tract. There are products that have 10 billion, and there are products that have 50 billion. And there's like a body count about all the CFUs, colony-forming units of bacteria that are there. And it's kind of like, you know, each brand is one-upping the other to demonstrate their bona fides and, you know, their mode of action. So what are some of the considerations in choosing a probiotic?
Well, it's definitely getting more and more complicated all the time. And you're exactly right. There's kind of a one-upsmanship going on. And some of it's based on, you know, how a lot of people will evaluate something based on how many lentils you can get, how many pounds of lentils you can get for a dollar. Well, that's not the way it works with the probiotics. It's most important is it the right strains? Is there diversity in it? Because I'm a little worried about upsetting the balance with a whole lot of one. And are they viable? Are they going to live through the process? They're actually, most of them are acid-loving bacteria. So if they're still alive and active in a fermented food, for example, they're used to an acidic environment, and they're likely going to make it past the digestion. I'm still kind of on the fence about whether enteric coating to kind of encapsulate it so it doesn't go through the stomach is
right.
The right thing for everybody, because I imagine you've seen some people, their digestion is so compromised they can't break down the enteric coating.
Yeah, yeah, so. And that is a problem, because then some clunk in the toilet bowl, and that's not good either. You know, then there's the issue of should you take it with food or should you take it away from food? That's a big controversy, because there is this thing about the stomach acid destroying the bacteria, but then, you know, why are they called acidophilus? That means they are lovers of acid. to translate from. Yep. I guess it's the Greek. They're acidophiles, you know, just like there are francophiles, bibliophiles. These are acidophiles. They like acid, so maybe that stomach acid isn't destroying them in transit, especially, you know, if there's a little food in the stomach, maybe that'll buffer it out.
Well, and there are a lot of things at work here. You know, they are lactic acid bacteria. That's what most of they're the largest number of the kinds of species that are supplemented. They are lactic acid bacteria. But a lot of the people who need these the most are middle-aged and beyond. They don't have enough stomach acid anyway.
Yeah.
And if you have a little food, it buffers it. So I think the biggest thing is if the product is freeze-dried, if it's a white powder, that's what's been done. It's been a lot of operations before even the freeze-drying. They're cultured quickly, then they're separated from their food supply, the colonies are broken up, then they're subject to drying and freezing. So they're pretty fragile, and that's why most of them have to be kept in the refrigerator. Those are not really probably resilient to go through the digestive process. And so with those, maybe it is better to take them on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, last thing at night. But if you get a live bacteria, especially one that comes with its own food supply, and I think people should do whatever they can do and be regular with. And sometimes for people, that's taking it with one of their meals.
Okay. And, of course, you're a fan of Dr. Ahira's probiotic, which is, in a way, you know, the way I look at Dr. Ahira's is it's really not like other probiotics. It's kind of like a fermented food, in my opinion, like a super concentrated fermented food. Am I right to suggest that?
Yes, and I wish there was a different category because it causes all manner of confusion putting it up against side by side with some of these that are saying, well, I've got 20 strains and 600 bazillion organisms,
right.
CFUs,
right.
Because it works in such a different way. It contains all of those postbiotics, and they're very deep in the product because these bacteria have been fermented for 3 years. And interesting, and I know you know this because of the professional version of it, is it is even more powerful than the consumer version. It has fewer bacteria.
Yeah. So, well, wait a minute. That sounds bass-ackwards. You know, fewer bacteria,
yeah.
More powerful? Explain that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's because the power isn't in the living colony-forming units. It's in the fact that they've had 5 years of fermenting to mm-hmm. create all of those postbiotics. And the cell walls and the DNA of the ancestors of the ones that are alive today, all of that messaging and power is still there, as well as the nutrients and enzymes and things that have been developed because they feed the bacteria 92 fruits, vegetables, wildcrafted herbs, seaweeds, and that kind of thing. So they've had a very rich diet of foods that makes them healthy. And one thing that told me that this is really a different animal altogether is when I was in Japan, I visited where they make them. And I'm walking through and I'm just trying to be pleasant. I said, oh, well, it's so nice that I was hearing this classical music playing. And I said, it's so nice of you to play this lovely music for your employees. And they looked at me like I was stupid, because I was. They said, no, that's for the bacteria. They thrive better with the vibrations from Mozart.
Wow, okay. They're very cultured bacteria.
Yeah.
Highly cultured.
They are.
Okay.
They're fermented and cultured in ways we never guessed.
In a way, this sounds a little bit like, you know, hocus-pocus superstition. But, you know, what I think they're trying to do is create in vitro, in the vat, in the fermenting vat, the ideal conditions that may represent the microbiome in the human gastrointestinal tract. They start with, you know, unique cultures that are beneficial, and then they stoke them with healthy foodstuffs to promote their growth in a natural way, not just with milk, you know, because milk is just one of the food constituents in the human diet. Not too much of a food constituent in Japan, by the way. Then it's kind of like a little coevolution, survival of the fittest, and what comes out is, hopefully, ideally, a beneficial strain for human consumption in a matrix that helps it to ensure its own survival. But also, you know, this is actually the first time I heard about these other, you know, fragments, bacterial fragments, the debris. But actually, we know that bacteria signal to one another with little episomes, with little fragments of themselves. They can transfer through horizontal transmission messages from one to another. So it's actually plausible that some of this debris, seemingly junk, can actually have a signaling effect in the gastrointestinal tract. That's interesting.
Yes, and it makes a better environment for all of our native strains, because your assortment is different than mine. They're very personalized. And that's why it's a little hard to say, oh, well, this is the bacteria everybody should take. One single strain that I am pretty fond of is TH10. It's one that seems to be particularly active against some of the threats like MRSA and C. diff and so on. It's very, very powerful strain. And so if it survived all of those years of fermenting, it's pretty ready to get out there and do battle on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the proprietary strain that is supposedly many times stronger than any other lactic acid bacteria. It seems to fight other pathogens, or at least competes with them and keeps them at bay. Dr. Hira's is a choice that you endorse. And so how do you take it?
I don't work for the company. I just happen to be a fan.
Okay, good. So, and neither do I, but I get, you know, full disclosure, they're a sponsor. So, so then the question becomes, and this is an important question, because how many do you take? Is more better? Or can some people sometimes get a little blown away by the introduction of new bacteria? That's a very important question in taking probiotics, isn't it?
It is, and especially if you're doing one of the that has just a few strains and has such a large number of them, if they happen to take hold, they're going to get busy doing whatever they do and maybe suppress some of the other activities that should be going on down there. So I think you have to be kind of sneak up on them. Now, with Dr. O'Hara's, because it's food for bacteria, it kills off bad guys and doesn't have billions and billions and billions of live organisms, you've got much more latitude to take more if you want to. I usually tell people if they really want to change the landscape quickly, you can take 5 in the morning and 5 at night for mm-hmm. 6 days.
That's what I sometimes do. I will induce that. You know, in patients with very serious gastrointestinal problems, I may have them start with a lot. And, you know, there's a price point when you take that many, but that may be, you know, for a short term to recolonize your gut, and then you can go on to maintenance. Yeah.
Beyond that, the only real side effect of taking too much is poverty.
Right. Right. It'll have a harmful effect on your wallet, possibly. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay. But it's, when it comes down to it, what you want is the effect. You want value. So you can spend a lot on other kinds of probiotics that won't have the lasting benefit that Dr. O'Hara's does. And I keep a jar. I got it when I was in Japan and treasure it. I have a jar of the paste. And if I feel that I may have gotten some food poisoning or something, I'll take a teaspoon of that, which I have no idea how many capsules that might be, but that mm-hmm. shuts it down right now. Wow. Which is a point I want to make because of the holidays and just for people who might be tempted to take some of these awful drugs that I talk about and natural alternatives to Nexium. Carry some Dr. O'Hara's with mm-hmm. you. It doesn't have to be refrigerated. It's blister packed. Have it with you. And at the first sign of digestive trouble, instead of swallowing it with water, which is what you would usually do, soften it in your mouth, chew it, mm-hmm. let it go right to the stomach where the problem is, and it's amazing. It will shut down indigestion pretty darn quickly.
And I often, you know, people ask me, because it's vacation time, so a lot of people go on cruises, or they go to Mexico, they go to, you know, Caribbean or whatever, you know, some place where maybe, just maybe, they're going to get Montezuma's Revenge or some of those terrible shipborne infections that sometimes ruin cruises. You know, like a third of the passengers come down with horrible, you know, diarrhea, whatever, rotavirus or whatever. And I suggest that they take along probiotics, because I always ask the question, why is it, you know, when there are these outbreaks, that it's only maybe a quarter, maybe a fifth, maybe 10% of the people who get sick? What is it that distinguishes the other 80, 90% of people? And I think it's a healthy microbiome that enables them to withstand. They may get the same germs, but their gut manages to cope with them and keep them at bay.
Absolutely. When you're packing for a cruise, of course the bathing suit, but before you worry too much about the formal wear, pack ginger so that you don't have to have Dramamine,
right,
and take your probiotics and take them preventively. Don't wait until you have a problem. But I write about Purell and about cruises actually in the new book, because I happened to be writing it while I was on a cruise, a lot of it, and it's people do get sick and others don't. They may do a better job of sanitizing their hands, but I think it's basically once those bacteria get inside, even if you want to talk about a restaurant chain that's had a recent big problem, Salmonella or various food recalls, thousands of millions of people may be exposed and 200 get sick and 30 die.
Yeah, I would really like a study to be done of what predisposes those people to being sick. I would bet that many of those people, and a very high percentage of people taking acid blocking medications, Prevacid, Nexium, you name it, and or maybe they're immunosuppressed, or maybe that lots of them have taken antibiotics frequently, and that may be the predisposing factor, because I just don't think it's a random hit who gets sick.
No, I don't either. And I'll bet we'll find a lot of them are eating a lot of sugar without realizing that shuts down your immune competence for 5 hours. There's something going on there that even in your office, there'll be some people that get, not your office, but a person's office, as the flu will go around, half of them get sick, the other half don't. Well, they've got better immunity, and if most of your immunity, 70-80% of it, comes from the gut, we need to pay attention to what's going on down there.
And there are studies that suggest, and one that I recall is a study of, I think it was a civil servant somewhere in Scandinavia, it was like Sweden, Denmark, one of those countries, where they, you know, average like 3 or 4 colds, a season, and they then did one intervention. They gave him a probiotic, and they found that they halved the incidences of colds and flus and thus reduced the absenteeism just with the probiotic, because probiotic sends a signal to your immune system to fight off pathogens.
Exactly. And there have been studies with school-age children, and they have fewer of the upper respiratory infections, fewer sick days, fewer ear infections. Probiotics time is coming. I've been studying them really since the early 80s.
Well, you bet on the right horse, for sure.
I think I did. Too bad I didn't invest in it. I've just been studying and writing and teaching about it, but
getting the word out is important. So you're also an expert on aloe. So can we take a little side trip to talk briefly about aloe? I think you wrote a book on the subject of aloe as a healing agent for the gastrointestinal tract.
Yes, I did. It's one of the things I recommend in my book. If somebody's got a persistent GI problem, aloe, we all know how effective it is for sunburn and pain and rashes and things on the skin. Well, it does the same thing for the inflammation in the intestinal tract, which goes all the way from the mouth. If you have mouth ulcers or an inflammation in the esophagus from GERD to gas bloating and so on. It's a nice partner with the probiotics. It actually helps feed them. But it's a very healing substance. The only people that probably have to be a little careful, somebody that knows that they are allergic to onions.
Okay.
But otherwise,
it's in the onion family.
Yeah, onion and lily family.
Okay.
So otherwise, almost everybody does very well with it, and it increases the antioxidants in the blood. It increases the immune with the white cells count in the blood, detoxifies, it lowers the nitrates and other toxins in the blood. So it's generally supportive of the whole body.
You know, there's some cautions about aloe, however. The aloe does contain an ingredient, certain types of aloe, maybe you can help us with that, contain an ingredient which is a pretty potent laxative, so some people may not want that undesirable effect. And also, some of the aloe products are laden with preservatives, stabilizers, and so on. So what do you look for in an aloe product?
Well, any product that says this is an aloe laxative, stay way far away from it, because that's been prepared incorrectly. Most all now, years ago when they didn't understand, you know, maybe they take the whole aloe plant, and in the yellow sap that's in the peeling, there's an aloin, which is very caustic, and you don't want that even to put on your skin because it kills skin cells. But what I would consider bad aloe products, they still don't have aloin in it. And the FDA did a really silly study, just taking an aloe leaf, throwing it in a blender, and then peeling it all, fed it to rats, and the rats got sick. But the same study has been done correctly, just taking the gel out of the middle, and the rats were much better at the end than they were in the beginning. So the difference is not all of them have the very high molecular weight and quantity of polysaccharides, which are what do the healing. So a lot of times you're paying good money for water, mm-hmm. and you do want one that, my favorite is one that's organic in glass, has no preservatives, and that's by Lily of the Desert. Mm-hmm. I know they grow their own.
That's a gel or a juice?
A gel or a juice, this really the same thing. If it's a gel, it's because they've added a fiber to make it more viscous,
okay.
which might be good if you're trying to get it to stick to the throat or something. But mm-hmm. Basically the same thing. The two differences are there's whole leaf and just the inner gel. And the whole leaf is more potent as long as they have filtered out that yellow sap. But
in health food stores, they actually sometimes sell aloe leaves. Is that a good idea for people to go and chop off a piece of aloe leaf and put it in a juicer, or is that going to include some of the harmful ingredient?
If you open it up and fillet it like a fish and just scoop the gel out of the middle,
the inside,
the clear gel, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
It's going to end up being more expensive because the Lily of the Desert's right in the middle of the price range. It's not expensive, and it's from all the university tests and the comparisons I saw, it's probably twice as good as the next best one.
It's probably cheaper than fresh aloe in Wisconsin in January.
Yeah, that had to come from somewhere, probably not Madison.
Exactly. Okay. So, all right. So, good stuff. And so, what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? First of all, give us, again, your contact, the way that people can listen to your program. And do you also continue to do consultations?
If people track me down, I don't solicit them, but I do still, I'd much rather send them to you. But,
oh, thank you. But you're a specialist in digestion. Digestion is your forte, isn't it?
It is. And I do phone consultations, and I'm mostly focused on the educational side of things. But mm-hmm. I do a weekly newsletter that's free, an e-newsletter.
Okay, so if people go to healthybynatureshow.com or hbnshow.com, they can obtain. They can listen live to your podcast, or they can, or to your radio program, or they can go to the archives and listen to previous shows on podcasts, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then also they can sign up for your free e-newsletter, which I don't get, so please sign me up for it. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, just, you know, get me in on the action. And
I'll give you a special deal.
I'll give you a special
100% deal. 100%
discount. Thank you, yeah. on the free e-newsletter. I hate that. You know, it's great when you got connections. And then let's give a shout-out to EFI as well. How can people find out about Dr. Hira's probiotic?
Well, the best way really is to go to essentialformulas.com, and you can find out about all of their great products.
And they also have recently diversified their product line to include RegActive, which is a series of products that are based on a probiotic that generates glutathione in the gastrointestinal tract. It's a unique probiotic, but that's a subject that I've covered in depth with Ross Pelton, who's an expert on RegActive. But I'm really pleased to see that they're, you know, sort of diversifying their portfolio in the probiotic field. But still, the product, the original Dr. Hira's, is still a mainstay for me and my practice, and I take it personally on a daily basis, and it really works. So I want to thank you.
I do, too, and I think it goes really beautifully with the RegActive, which I also take.
Yeah, it's not an either or. Okay, great. So yeah. Thank you very much for joining us, and all the best. And
well,
a very
certainly
happy,
my pleasure.
And a very happy holiday season to you. I'm Dr. Ronald
you too,
Hoffman.
Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.